The study for tonight is in is our study with it. We started out in wisdom a long time ago, and it's study number 147. And we're still in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we're still dealing with the widows and the dealing with the women here for a few more verses of Scripture. Down through 16. But we got down through verse 9, life study, so we're going to start with verse 10. And 1 Timothy 5, 10. 1 Timothy 5:10, 1805. If you have a companion Bible. And so we'll keep carrying on like we've been carrying on. We'll do a verse in the King James, and then I'll read my notes, and then we'll look at it out of the Koine Greek and read Jack's notes, and then look at the Scripture that goes with it. And it's been working pretty good, and this is Paul here talking or dealing with Timothy as we go along here, and we got in one of Ronnie's studies Sunday, and I got to reading in it a little bit, and they were having a little trouble with Timothy's sticking to itness, I guess you might say, even back in 1 and 2 Corinthians. And so this is no new thing for Paul dealing with his son in Christ, he calls it. So my own son in Christ. So we'll deal with it, continue to deal with it as Paul was dealing with Timothy in this situation. And he was talking about the widows and what the assembly should be doing for the widows in certain respects, and then not so much in other respects. And so it's really, this kind of thing is really hard to get your head around a little bit, because there's so many things that you can get involved with concerning people and their way of life and dealing with them in respect of maybe one of them losing the other one and all this. And there's quite a lot of things that Paul's trying to get through to Timothy again concerning all this. And we got down through 8 and 9, which was pretty telling about the widows and realize that, well, there's a lot of them that'll wind up with younger people. And we said, for one thing, that it's a good thing a lot of times, because there needs to be a grown up in the crowd. And so here we go. We're gonna look at verse 10, and I'll just read it. It says, talk about a widow now. And I'll just read 9 again. It says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Now this was for the assembly, and for the assembly or the groups that they were tied to or tied with, that should be a situation that, you know, if she was over 60 years old, then she probably needed help. Under that, it may be a different story. Okay, verse 10, it says, well reported of for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, and if she have diligently followed every good work. So that's what you find in the King James Version in this in this verse of scripture. Here's my notes. This is how the widow of verse 9 should be seen as. Well reported for good works. That was number one. If she had brought up or raised her own or grandkids or nephews or nieces, then number two, if she had lodged or took in strangers. Number four, if she had washed the saints' feet. Number five, if she had relieved the afflictions or helped with the sick. Number six, and if she had diligently followed every good work, is to show care more than usual in every stage of being there. And so this is giving her, you know, to do this, she would really be doing a good report and be doing a good work for the assembly. And then there are several places here that we need to look at, according to Jax, but we'll look at what he said about it first. And let's look and see what the Koine Greek says in verse 10. And it says this, in works, good attest. If she had brought up children, if she had entertained strangers, if saints' feet she washed, if to the oppressed she gave relief, of every work good, she followed after. And then it kind of goes back to about the same thing that you got in the King James Version. Attended to good works, brought up children, entertained strangers. If she washed saints' feet, if she gave relief to the oppressed, and if she followed after every good work. So that's pretty close there to the, in the more modern English, a little different from the Koine Greek. And it says, this woman has a good reputation for good works. Now this is what Jack wrote. She brought up children who were not necessarily her own. She entertained strangers. Some faith is involved in this, as we can't always be certain of the safety of this. Washing the saints' feet was an act of kindness and hospitality in the Oriental household. After a hot sandy trek, the cool water of the hospitable believer was welcome to tired feet. Sometimes those believers were oppressed, perhaps only because they were body members. Of course, this was an opportunity of grace to come to some relief of that harried one. This faithful body member had an important role in the life of the body assembly. And now we got several verses of scripture here that we need to look at. And I hope I've got them in order. It's been a week or two since I've done this one, so I'm not real sure, but if I ain't, we'll go back and pick it up. The first one is page 1369, if you have a companion Bible, Matthew 25:35. So we'll go back and start with Matthew. Okay. And we're going to look at Matthew 25:35 to 37, I believe. Let's see. Okay. It says, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. So this was this was just some of the things that that a widow in an in a group of believers could or should do. And so we've looked at that one there in Matthew. Now, let's go from Matthew to Acts. We're going to go to three places in Acts, starting with Acts 6. Okay, let's see if we can get over here to Acts 6. Be there this minute. Okay, Acts 6. We're going to do 6, 1, 2, and 3. 4. And we're going to start on page 1589. One verse, chapter 6, 1 is there. And in those days, it says, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. You know, this is when they come and put their money in a pile, and some of them felt like they wasn't getting a good deal out of that. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint them over the business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So they got seven new guys, and of course, Stephen was one in that group of people. Okay, so let's go to Acts 9 and look at Acts 9 for just a minute. And most all of us are, and we're going to look at 9:36. Most of us have heard about this one. It says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they washed, they laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, he brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turned to him, turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. So here again is another miracle, I guess, in that sense. And then look, we're going to look at 10, verses 21 through 23, the next chapter. 10:21-23. This was what Jack wanted us to look at. He said, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. That what is the cause wherewith you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and a certain brother from Joppa accompanied him. And of course, this was where he was when they had laid the sheet down and said, Peter, take and eat, kill and eat. And Peter said, oh no, Lord, I've never done anything like that. And he said, well, what I say now is clean is clean. So that was kind of going on down the road there a little bit then that. Okay, let's go from there to Romans 12. That's rather steady a little further down the road. Okay, Romans 12. We're going to look at 13 through 17. This is on page 1687. Romans 12, 13 through 17. It says, distributing the necessary to these saints, given the hospitality. Well, it probably should have been 14. Bless them which persecute you and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. He of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So that was Romans 12, actually 13 through 17. Okay. Next one is 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to go 1 and 2. First Corinthians 14, 1 and 2. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Okay. We go from there to 2 Corinthians 1.
Getting a little thunder boomer here.
Yes, sir. We're really getting the bumper going. 2 Corinthians 1, 5, 6, and 7. It says, for as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. Okay, now that was 2 Corinthians, and there's another place in chapter 4 and verse 7, 8, and 9 there. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, 8, 9. And it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And I'm going to read 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So that was 4, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. We're going from there. The 2 Thessalonians 1. Second Thessalonians 1, 6 and 7. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from on heaven with his mighty angels. That's 2 Thessalonians 1, 6, and 7. Now, we want to go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 37, 38, and 39. Okay. Hebrews 11, 37, 38, and 39. Okay. Talking about, yeah, I guess the prophets. Pretty sure it was prophets. Yeah. 37 said they were stoned. They were sawed asunder. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us than they without us should not be made perfect. Okay. And then we want to go and look at Hebrews 13, 2. Okay. Hebrews 13 and 2. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them that suffer adversary as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is an honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that was the last one in Hebrews. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. First Peter chapter 2, and look it through 21 through 23. First Peter 2, 21 through 23. And that's on page 1858 if you have a companion Bible. For even hereunto you're called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteousness. Okay, let's see. We're almost done there, and then we want to look at 1 Peter 4, 9 while we're here. 1 Peter 4, 9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay. And the last one for this particular verse of scripture is 3 John 5 and 6. 3 John ain't but one chapter anyway in that, so it's just verse 5 and 6 of 3 John. In front of Jude. Okay. Let me find it, and I'll find it in a minute. Okay, 3 John 5 and 6. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the assembly, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a goodly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. That was an extra verse there. So we got through verse 10 and went through all of that Brother Jack wanted us to look at. in verse 10. So let's go back. Let me find my place here in 1 Timothy 5. And boys, so storms kind of got us surrounded.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back to 1 Timothy 5. Let's look at verse 11. In verse 11, it kind of changes gears a little bit here. In 11, talking about the widows being 60 years of older and what they might have done during their lifetime, and the assembly was taking care of them. But listen, it says, but the younger widows refuse, or, I'll just read it and then I'll read my notes. But the young widows refuse, for when they have begun to act wanton against Christ, they will marry. And so that's a short verse there, for sure. But Paul is telling Timothy, said, look, if you got a younger widow, refuse. And in my notes, it says, I was looking at this, and it says, of the things that I could find, it said, this must refer to accepting them into the ministry. And but he says, refuse them, and there was a reason why. It says, as their first passion may be to find another mate. So this was a thing to that you didn't want to take in this widow because she may have something else on her mind rather than Christ. She may be looking for a mate again. And I can see how this happens. And this is to refuse there is 3868 in the Strong's, and it means to beg off or to let her do her own thing, so to speak. It says, for when or if at that time they have begun to wax wanton, or that they have not help the head of Christ the way they should have. And the word wanton there is 2691 in the Strong's. And that is to become undisciplined or unrestrained. And so they didn't want Timothy to be taking in anybody like that into this assembly and using them or teaching or for the things that we just talked about with the other lady that was over 60 years old that had a good reputation. That she may not have that reputation. And that's pretty much basically what we're looking at here. It says, because if they have begun to wax wanton, or to become undisciplined or unrestrained against Christ, says, if they have a chance, they'll marry. they'll be gone. So it's a different way to look at younger widows against the older widows, because they feel like their life was still not finished. So that kind of makes sense on that part too. So we'll go ahead and read the Koine Greek down verse 11. It says, younger but widows refuse, when for they shall begin to wax wanton against Christ, to marry determined. And then down to the more modern English, but younger widows refuse, well, they shall begin to grow on against Christ, to marry is determined, or generally determined. And the word here, Jack says in his notes, and this was the reason I looked at it somewhat, it says, what does refuse mean here? We do not believe this means not to accept them into the fellowship of the body lightly. It refers to accepting them into the ministering rules, which require consistency. They are not to be cared for as the older widows. If they do have consistent roles of service in the assembly, they may very well leave their obligation at some point and marry. The intimation here is clear that they will not care as to the spiritual status of the new husband. And then there's two places here that Jack wants us to look at, and only two for this verse of scripture. So in verse 11 here, we're going to go to Mark 12. We'll look at Mark 12, 10 through 12. So let's drop back to the book of Mark. And I got two places marked, because there's another place down here further down, 12. Mark 12, 10 through 12. Okay. That's on page 14, 12. And it says, and have you not read the scripture? This scripture? The stone which the builder rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So he says, have you not read the scripture? The stone which the builder rejected is become the head of the corner. It is the main one. And so this is Christ, regardless of what you know, have heard, or understood. He has now become the head of the corner. And then the next one is 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Well, I thought I marked it. 1 Corinthians 7:39. No, I guess I didn't. But it says, The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abides after my judgments, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So this is, of course, Paul is speaking again there in 1 Corinthians 7. That's the two that Jack wanted us to look at there, of course, about the young widows. Okay. And it kind of goes on. But we'll go back. And what time is it, Ron?
9:18.
Huh?
9:18.
We can do the next one because it's short, too. 1 Timothy 12. Talking about the younger widows. If they have a chance, they'll sometimes leave the faith and go to other things. And he is warning, of course, Timothy about this. It says, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And so, that seems to be pretty, having damnation there is 29:17 in the Strong's. It's a judgment of the law, because they have denied and cast off the holiness of their first faith. So we're assuming that her, if she's looking for somebody else to marry, she's not really, I think it would be not real important to her, that her faith wouldn't be as important as looking for another person. And that's a pretty bad way to look at it, but that's kind of the way it goes. Okay, so there's a few things to look at here too. And did we read what Jack said in 12? I don't think so. Having judgment because the first faith cast off. Okay, the judgment they're having has not necessarily been pronounced by the local assembly. Their judgment surely is known in their hearts, consequence from their own actions. They have denied or forsaken the head for the fleshly lust presented to them. This is not about some godly woman remarrying another member of the body in holiness and holding the head. So, you know, sometimes people will decide, well, this is better for me, and go the other route. So this is what Paul is telling to Timothy here about these people that go and do these things. And the first one I want to look at is 2 Corinthians. Now, if you're looking, I mean 2 Chronicles, and Jack's got his notes here, and there's three or four or five places he wants us to look at, but he says 1 Chronicles 36:13. Well, there ain't that many 1 Chronicles, so we had to go to 2 Chronicles. So I found a mistake there that I figured that out.
I saw one in the CB akin to that too one time. 30. There's too many there.
Second Chronicles 36:13. Okay. Let's just go back and look at 11 through 14 since we're here. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart and turned unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chiefs of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And so you remember about that too, that it seems like the house of the Lord was a kind of a marker for Satan's work there in that place, because you know when Isaiah came along and he took him and he showed him these places where they had served a false god in the temple there, and so it seems like that was the work that Satan was doing against the house of God there for that particular aspect. Okay. Now number two is back in Mark again, so we go all the way from Chronicles back to the book of Mark. And here it is, I think, right there. Yeah. Okay, we're going back to Mark 6:26-29. Mark 6:26-29. And he said, and the king was exceedingly sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, and he would not reject her. Of course, I think this was when they got the head of John the Baptist on the charger. Okay. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison, and bought his head as a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. So you see, the brother took care of the body even if they didn't have the head. That situation. Okay. Now we're going to go from there to Luke 23. We're going to look at 34 to 40. Luke 23:34-40. Okay, and then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This was at the crucifixion. They parted his raiments and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin, in Hebrew, saying this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? So, you see, you have people, some believe, and certainly some didn't believe. Okay. 2 Corinthians 36.
That don't sound right.
Mark, Luke. Hang on a minute. 12. Okay. I don't know where I got that. Okay. Let's go to Romans 3:8 and 13:2.
Must have been a typo part.
I don't know. I caught one and then I made one, I guess.
That's how it works. Give and take.
Romans. Yeah, okay. Romans 3:7-9. Romans 3:7-9. Okay, for if the truth of God hath more abundant through me, through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderous reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us go and do evil, that good may become, whose damnation is just. And 9 says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For if we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Okay. Now, we're going to go to Galatians 5. Okay, Galatians 5. I don't know where I got the Galatians 5, 10. Yeah, Galatians 5:10-13. Because one's on one page and one's on another. 17:56-10 starts there. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Okay. I want to go back to Hebrews 10 and 1. Again, back to Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews 10. I forgot how long 11 was. Hebrews 10, 26 through 28. He said, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And of course this was talking about the 40-year journey in the wilderness. So that was part of that. Now where is the rest of it? Okay, and we're going to go to Hebrews 13 too. Hebrews 13 to a passage. Well, let's go to one. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bonds with them, and them which suffer adversary as being yourselves also in the body. And marriage is an honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Okay. So that gets all that Jack wanted us to look at. In that verse of scripture there, it says, in 1 Timothy 5:12. And we'll stop there for tonight. And we'll pick up with 13 and go on next time because it's got a little more dealing to do. Yeah. It's got several to go, and it's getting late, and the storms are brewing, and the storms are going.
Yeah, we definitely got the storm going.
So we made it through three verses tonight. 10 was a long one, the longest one we've had lately to deal with that. But we can pick it up and go with that. And start with that in our next study the next time. And that will be 2 weeks?
2 weeks from now. Okay. Or 2 weeks from tonight, yeah.
Okay, so we'll be ready to go between now and then for sure. If the Lord abides, and we'll pick it up with that and go that way the next time. Okay, so thanks, Ron. For all of you that are here, I hope you have a good night. And it seems like we're getting plenty of rain right now, so we'll work our way back home in a few minutes and ask the Lord to watch over us while we take in this storm. Thanks for being with us. I hope you got something out of that tonight.